Hi everybody, welcome to the Masterclass series. I'm your host, Caroline Holden. Today I have with me David Gorman, a fantastic teacher whose information needs to be shared with everyone. He had a training center for the Alexander Technique in the 80s and 90s in London, England, but now he's here with us to talk about a new development of his, the learning methods. If you need any information on him which you don't find with us today, you can go to www.learningmethods.com, where you will find hopefully what you need. But for now, let's just welcome David. So, welcome, David.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
Yeah, great. So, let me start off by asking you if you could tell us a bit about the learning methods and how it developed.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Well, I'll keep it simple, and you can ask more questions if you need along the way. It really, of course, it came out of my Alexander Technique teaching, and a number of things. It was really a kind of a slow evolution with quite a number of different insights and discoveries along the way, each of which opened up a bit new territory that, as I moved in and explored that, another bit opened up, and so it's kind of a progression of insights and changes over quite a number of years. But I'd say in a certain sense the biggest one, especially in relation to performers, that kind of spurred me on to look for other ways of approaching things was I used to work with a lot of performers, and I was finding several things happening. The first is that people were having a difficult time already in their performance, trying to play well and trying to control things, often trying to control a lot of their coordinations, and they had a big job already and were running into problems when I started to help them with the Alexander Technique. And I began to see, of course, in effect what was happening. It wasn't the intent in a way, but the effect was now they had another thing to do on top of all the things they were already doing. They had the Alexander Technique, their awareness of themselves and their ability to release or inhibit, or, and so it seemed like an extra burden for them that certainly during a large part of the first bit of their learning actually increased the amount that they had to do, and that was problematic for a lot of people. But then also kind of underneath that was, as I began to explore, you know, how to find a way around this, I began to see that there was kind of another issue underneath it all, which is that people kept, in a sense, coming back with the same problems, needing help with them, or when they began to learn to work on their own, they still had a lot of the same difficulties as before. They now had a very often much more effective way through the Alexander work to deal with those problems. That is, they would still find themselves getting tense, let's say, but they now had ways to release that tension. They would find themselves still getting nervous, but they had ways to open themselves up and be more whole and be more in the moment and somehow cope with it much, much better, but they still had this extra job to do, and the problem still tended to happen, except in a relatively few people. So it was kind of in the process of looking to what's really going on with this. Are we, in effect, with the work, at least, you know, the way I was approaching it, helping people kind of get more of a coping mechanism, a very good coping mechanism that had big spillover effect in the use of themselves in the rest of their life also, but it didn't seem to be quite eliminating the problems the way that I'd hoped it would, the way that it had for me and the way that it had for a few people I'd worked with. So it was in this kind of trying to figure out what exactly is it that is happening to people, and were there ways to get them out of the problem entirely rather than have something that they would have to keep on doing, namely the Alexander Technique, on an ongoing basis to be functioning well. And I suppose the biggest sort of single insight was the recognition that rather than now that you have the problem, what are you going to do about it? Now that you feel the tension, how are you going to free your neck or open yourself up or inhibit or learn to move better? It was the kind of question that kept coming up for me is, well, why is this happening in the first place? And as I began to just find out from people, from their point of view, in their own words, how they were seeing this situation, what they were up to in their performance, I began to see so much of the, what seemed kind of clear, so much of the causes of the problems. They're trying to get things right. They're trying to be more perfect than they were. They're trying to control their parts. And I began to see that it was more the way they were going about that, their performance and the way they were seeing things. So the learning methods is largely a way to help people uncover the points of view and the understandings and beliefs and way they go about things, that once they discover those and discover that when I go about it this way, I get these kind of states, this kind of tension or this kind of anxiety or this kind of strain. And when I go about it another way, some other time in my performing career when things have gone wonderfully, what am I actually up to at those moments? And to have a set of tools, in other words, to uncover how people go about things that give them the problems. And I began to see that once we found that, those ways that they were seeing things and could change those, in fact, the problems just dropped away very quickly and quite permanently.
Well, that's amazing. I know that it's been very effective. In fact, I've spoken to a singer recently that took one of your workshops, and I know that she had decided she was going to stop singing, and after the workshop, she changed her mind. She thought she was ready. Something clicked, and she had to do it. So that's incredible.
Great.
It is great. And so it seems that in a lot of respects, you're sort of doing the work. I mean, it sounds a little bit, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, like you're doing the work of a kind of a psychotherapist for performers. But maybe that you could maybe say something about that.
Well, you know, in a lot of ways I could say what I'm doing is still the Alexander technique, but of course it's not really the way that most people are doing it. On the other hand, I know what you mean by that, in that we're dealing with what goes on inside people's minds and their feelings and their emotions and their reactions. But I prefer to think of it really that what we're doing is just helping somebody be able to recognize, well, they don't need any help recognizing they have a problem. They have the symptoms right there, and they have the reactions, and they know that's not fun, but we're helping them then have the tools to explore their life, I guess, their experience, their thoughts, their feelings, their ideas, their reactions, everything that actually just happens to them on a daily basis when they're going through their life. To be able to have a set of tools to get that out very clearly and make sense out of it. So I kind of have a little, a slogan, I guess, for the work, that it's learning methods is the application of intelligence to experience.
Okay. But, for people who may already be familiar with the Alexander technique, we know about the hands-on. Do you have that? Do you do that in a workshop? Are you putting hands-on in a workshop, or are you just speaking with the performers? I mean, maybe you could give us a little bit of information about what the structure is within the workshop.
It depends a bit on the workshop. I don't do the kind of hands-on work I was doing before, which was, this is a bit of a generalization, but it was kind of largely the teacher's hands-on work with the student, was giving the student, helping facilitate in the student a new coordination which they could use for various purposes, partly as a contrast with their normal experience and as a way to understand better how their system could work. But now I'm not really very interested in being the agent, if you like, of creating a new experience in people that they weren't having before. What I'm much more interested in is helping people understand the experiences they're having every day, most of which they completely misunderstand. So in that sense, I'm not in there changing their experience. We're exploring together to find out what is their experience, and together with that, what are their ways of approaching things and how do they see things, and basically the whole way they go into something, because in a sense it's becoming clearer and clearer to me. It sounds kind of funny to say it this way, but the states we get into, I mean, the tension, the anxiety, the whatever, are simply the coordination of the whole way somebody goes about something. And once people can start to see, oh, when I'm seeing it that way, I'm seeing that, you know, here's a situation where I have to play well, and I have to play well, or they're at work and they go, here's somewhere where I have all this stuff to do and there isn't enough time to do it, but I have to do it. When they go into it that way, of course, they will end up having the kind of responses that everybody does when they go into it that way. When I can help them see that that's not very constructive, that there's really no way around going into performance, let's say, with that kind of perfectionism without either getting nervous and or getting tense and controlling, and help them look also very, very closely at the times when things have worked very well and begin to see, now how am I going about things when everything works really well, which is quite different, of course, than how they're going about things when things don't work well. Mm-hmm. And then be able to see, okay, then if I went about it that way, quite consciously and clearly as opposed to accidentally, would in fact everything work much better, not only myself, that is how I'm affected, how free I am and whole I am and in the present I am, but also musically or theatrically or, you know, whatever their performance area is.
Okay. And I mean, would you say that this, the learning methods or any of the workshops would be good for teachers? I do think so. As a teacher myself, I think it's changed me forever in my approach to teaching. But maybe you could tell us if you see, for instance, because you've worked with performers and you've also worked with teachers, or even in the same workshops you have teachers and performers together, if, do you see a difference in how, for instance, how they sort of go through the workshop? That may not be a very good question, but how they approach their teaching. Maybe I'm not being...
I know what you mean. And it's a big interest of mine, the pedagogy of these things, because a great deal of the problems people have as performers, of course, come from their learning, from their teachers, from the way that they've been taught. And a lot of times that pedagogy is actually directly setting up the kind of pressure that they then experience later as their nervousness and their perfectionism, or is actually teaching them to control their parts in a way that ends up making them less than whole and less than free. Mm-hmm. So I'm primarily interested in working with teachers when I can, because you get the biggest bang for the buck, as it were, by changing somebody's way of teaching, who then affects lots of performers. And a lot of teachers, performance teachers, are also performers in their own right, which is great when that happens, because they, you know, they're keeping in direct touch with what it means to be performing and then teaching other people. So either way, although I think in one sense, you see, teaching and learning are just two sides of the same thing. So the pedagogy, whether it's being given out by a teacher or received by a student, is pretty much the same thing from two sides.
Right. And do they, is there performing? Do they perform in the workshop? I mean, do they have a chance to use it, practically speaking?
Oh yes, I mean the whole thing is, in a sense, is totally practical, because you're not dealing with anything theoretical. You're dealing with the actual things that happen to those actual people, their own thoughts and their experiences, which in general, when we're exploring them, are the exploration of other performance moments that they've already had. As we explore that and get more clear what has been happening for them and perhaps how they can see it differently and go about it differently, then of course we take the opportunity to actually go about it differently right there in the workshop, if at all possible.
Right.
Whether that means somebody singing something or playing their instrument or doing part of a scene or part of a dance is generally, you know, what what we can get at in a workshop situation, but it gives them a chance to see what it really means to apply it, so that when they go out and do it on their own, they've had a bit of help of knowing what that means and how to go about it.
Oh, fantastic. I love hearing that they get to dance or perform within the class. I love that. I just want to mention quickly that David's website is www.learningmethods.com. It's a fantastic place to go. Lots of interesting things to read, some of his articles, some of his students' articles. And as I'm talking about that, maybe you could tell us, I read a very interesting article that you wrote about a trumpet player and her experience within one of your workshops. Would you mind telling us a little bit or going over that story for us?
Well, there's been a lot of very interesting ones. That was a good one because it actually turned out to be something different than what she initially started off in. I mean, as a question, as an issue to bring up. It was initially around a breathing difficulty, wanting to get more free in breathing, but it became kind of clear in going into it that a lot of the times when she was noticing the problem with the breathing was in fact when, I just have to recall this now, when she'd sort of lost...
I think, because as I recall, she had a difficulty playing in an orchestra as opposed to... So her breathing changed when she was in an orchestra as opposed to when she was in a chamber group, that the expectations she felt were different. She needed to make a bigger sound in an orchestra, so her breathing changed, or she said it felt as though it changed, from what I recall.
Yeah. The upshot of it was when we got into a very detailed exploration of right there in the moment when she had noticed the breathing thing and then would get caught up in attempting to do something to improve her breathing, mm-hmm. kind of as an after effect. Mm-hmm. And we were looking closely at this point, not so much what do you do to help fix up your breathing when you notice something's gone a bit odd with it, but looking a bit earlier in the sequence to go, now why did it go odd in the first place? Mm. And began to see that in fact there were things that had come up for her in the moments just before that she was getting a bit caught up in, and that was what was causing the physical response, if you like, that she noticed as a breathing problem. Okay. So basically it was her kind of getting a little bit away from music, from being just in the music.
Oh, sorry, and you just cut out there for a second. I just missed the last bit of your sentence. Could you repeat that for us?
Yeah, we began to see that in fact she would, in a sense, have just a little bit come away from or got caught up in something other than being in the music, and then began to notice that as she noticed her breathing, but then she got caught up in the breathing and tried to fix it before getting back to the music. Okay. And we were able to take a kind of close look at that and go, if everything was running fine when you were just there in the music, as she put it, just there with the music and not trying to control anything physically, something happened, you're not sure what it was, but then you get caught up in trying to fix things physically so you can get back to the music, and in the meantime all this time has happened while you've been away from the music, as it were, trying to fix up the breathing. And you were asking me to help you learn better how to fix up the breathing. And so what I could suggest was, as an experiment, if you were in the music and everything was working just fine until something or other happened and ultimately you want to get back to the music, why not do it directly? Why not just go straight back to the music just as you are and see if in fact the system, the breathing and everything works itself out without you having to take care of it? So as we got that far and just seeing how she had got kind of caught up in the trying to fix something in order to fix it up first and then get back to the music, and we were able to make an experiment to say, well, what if at the moment, if anything happens, you just go straight back to the music and see if it sorts itself out? And sure enough, with one or two short experiments, that's pretty much exactly what happened. So the big learning was that the who knows exactly how something might have changed a little bit, but that she can go directly back to what she wants and allow her system to coordinate itself just like it was before the problem happened, rather than taking on this extra job of, oh, now I have to re-coordinate myself first before I go back.
Ugh, isn't that what we all do?
It has pretty big implications. And
yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible how simple it is, and yet we just don't know to apply these ideas. I was talking about the modular learning earlier when I first introduced you. Would it be possible to sort of describe to us what that is, or?
Well, there's sort of two sides to that one. One is the kind of setup that I'm beginning to plan out now for my new training, which up until now I've been doing it in a very apprenticeship sort of way. People who were interested in the work came and learned a lot and applied it in their life, and then maybe got interested in becoming teachers and carried on learning in their workshops and eventually then in teaching workshops on a kind of quite ad hoc basis. But now I want to set up something that's a little more formalized in the sense that it will have various modules. People can come in a number of directions, either directly into the learning methods work like we've been exploring around performance or other areas. They could also come in if they're more interested in some of the structure and function territories of how we're built and how we move in space and how we have problems and heal and so on, the anatomy of wholeness territory. But they can also come in at a number of different levels. And of course, in the beginning, it only makes sense for somebody to come to explore this work for themselves and perhaps then ultimately for their teaching or their work if they work with others, because nobody hopefully would want to train and become a teacher of a work that they had not seen for themselves that actually worked.
Right.
So, and of course, it's one thing to see it working with your students. It's another thing to actually use it yourself in your own life and work, because that's the only way you really see what it's like to operate this from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's what you're teaching people to do, is how to do this on their own. So the modules in that sense will be both different aspects that people can plug in on, certainly in the beginning, as they that might then move into other aspects later on, but also that they in a sense can come into the what I call the personal stream, which is learning about how to understand yourself and go about this in your daily life. And then there's the professional stream, which is people who are already teaching or working with others, music teachers or body workers or whatever it might be, who want to learn more tools that they can use in the work that they're already doing, say a yoga teacher, singing teacher. And then on from that is if somebody really wanted to become a learning methods teacher or anatomy of wholeness teacher and be certificated, they could go on from there and learn even that next level. But so there's many different places for people to plug in and kind of drive it by their own interests and how far they want to go.
Right. And I should say, I haven't mentioned it yet, but you're going to be in Montreal doing a workshop. Could you give us the dates and tell us exactly the workshop and sort of brief us on it? Because I know there's a lot of people out there who, after hearing you, will be very interested.
Yeah, all the details are on the Learning Methods website if you want to get, anybody wants to get full description of it and everything. But on December 11th to 13th, Friday evening, Saturday and Sunday, I'm doing a workshop I call Standing on Top of the World, which is sounds like a funny, simple kind of thing about learning about balance and support. People can go, well, I can balance. I haven't fallen over in at least 3 weeks. But a lot of people I find, they certainly, of course, can manage to stay upright and move around, but they're often doing it in such a way that they're not in the most free support and causing a lot of strains and efforts in themselves. Every time they go to sit in a chair or stand up or bend down, there's a lot of effort and a lot of forces, and ultimately then for a number of people, often a lot of damage lower back problems or knee problems. So this workshop is a very systematic and practical one, going through a series of kind of graduated demonstrations to reveal the principles of support and the entire experience of it, so that we're not only helping people understand how it works, but get back in touch with their own systems, messages that show them when they're supported and when they're free, and when they go out of that support in bending or moving or sitting or standing or walking or picking up something, or for that matter playing an instrument or doing a dance or doing yoga. And so by the time at the end of the workshop, people are a lot more clear about how it works and a lot more in touch with all the messages from their system that literally show them how they're doing. Okay. And it's a sequence and a kind of graduated sequence of things that I've developed, not only to show this for people, but as a way for teachers to have something that they can use with their students.
Okay. Is this a sort of a new development, this most recent workshop, the one you're doing coming up in Montreal, or?
No, I've been playing around with this territory for decades, but as a workshop, as something, I've been trying to work out things that teachers can learn and use and apply that are fairly straightforward and fairly simple, and that they can begin to explore with their students, both for themselves and for their students, in quite systematic sort of ways. And so there's not only the workshop, everybody that comes on the workshop also gets a recording of the workshops so that they can use it for further study and for reference when they want to develop their own, say, classes, group classes or individual classes to teach this material to their students.
Wow.
It's gotten to a quite refined level enough, actually, when I was just teaching this in Ireland and London. The workshop is so polished now in a way that I could just take that recording and transcribe it and turn it into a book.
Which is what you've done. I mean, I know that your one of the books is just that. It's a collection of recordings that you've done in workshops. I mean, I know, having done your workshop, that you recorded that one as well. But
So a lot of that material is also available for purchase as a recording, but as a book, I'll be able to add in a number of illustrations and make it a little more clear. The recordings help a lot for people that have been to the workshop, and in general, I think they're followable by someone that has not been to the workshop, but the book will be a little, I think, more easy to follow and function as a workbook, too, for anybody wanting to teach.
Have you thought about maybe developing that, the learning methods, as something you can learn, I mean, on a very theoretical level, like as a book? Or would it be something that you can only, I guess it's something you can only experience in person, but maybe you could tell me if I'm right.
Well, a lot of people have said that a lot of the articles on the website are actually basically just narratives of pieces of work with people dealing with various issues. So as such, they're literally a history of using the learning methods work to go at that issue with that person. And the ones that I've put up there are fairly typical for those kind of issues, whether it's a fear of heights thing or a losing weight thing or a performance thing or nervousness or... and so people have said that they've gained a huge amount just by reading the articles and sometimes work things out for themselves.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing like working with you, but for somebody who may not be able to attend your course, you never know, it could be a fantastic thing, yeah. So everybody who's listening, go to his website. Now, I wonder if we could do this. I was wondering, so for people to get a taste of what you're doing at the workshop, would we be able to, or could you maybe guide us through the process? You don't have to do the whole thing, but just a sort of a... am I cheating? Am I getting a freebie here? and it doesn't have to be the entire thing, and you don't have to do it with me, but maybe just give me a little taste of how it works. Whichever one, I mean, there are a lot of workshops. I mean, there is the Anatomy of Wholeness and Standing on Top of the World and the... liberating performers and all of them and the learning methods, which is one that interests me a lot. But I think for the performers at least.
Yeah, there are a number of, as you said, themed workshops, I guess. That is, ones that are about specific territories. The Liberating Performers is kind of a series of workshops that I do. One of the workshops, usually the first one I do, is on performance anxiety and self-judgment and helping people uncover the whole set of misconceptions and misattributions that go on to keep that that problem thriving in them. And generally, by the time somebody's gone through that, they see it in a very, very different way and will be pretty much free of the problem. The second one in the series that I will be doing in Montreal, probably sometime in the new year, is about the sort of tension and effort and the tendency people have in performance things, whether it's in singing or instrumental or theatrical or acting, dancing, is to try to learn these new coordinations, these new skills by literally controlling the coordinations, that somehow I won't learn these things until I tell the parts what to do, and I have to do it over and over by paying attention to what I do with my soft palate or what I do with my fingers on the strings or what I do in projecting my voice or all that sort of stuff. And it is one way of learning, but it's a very clunky way of learning compared to what the human system is capable of, and so it almost inevitably ends up leading people into tension and sometimes injury and effort, because there's a lot of cleanup involved here. You're trying to run small parts of you and tell them what to do, but doing it in a way that has an effect in the rest of you and is definitely not wholeness. So that workshop is largely about helping people see that there is a whole different way to go about things, where you're in effect paying more attention to what you want and allowing your wonderful coordinating system to put it together for you. And interestingly enough, the coordinations come much faster, much more easily, and without the cleanup. That is, in much more wholeness and freedom. And so that's taking people through that in a very specific sense. Some of the other workshops, the learning methods, which is what I call the open workshop, is literally just open for anyone to bring any issue at all, whether it's a performance-related one or a physical one of pain or injury or a relationship conflict problem or phobia. It really doesn't matter what the issue is, because the goal of the workshop there is not so much to solve the problem, although that often does happen right in the workshop. It's more to use these various issues that people bring up as a medium to show how you go about exploring and solving them. So by the time people have spent 4 or 5 days in the workshop with, say, 8 or 10 people, and quite a number of different issues have come up with different content, but the process is basically the same each time, then the process becomes clearer and clearer, and by the end of those days they have the ability to go out and begin to explore around in their own lives when things happen and begin to use that process to explore what is happening and why is it happening and begin to actually make choices and changes themselves.
How interesting. Has it happened that someone's worked, for instance, on a relationship? You said you can bring that to your learning methods to work on. Has that then changed, for instance, their performing? Have you seen that, or has that happened?
Well, it depends on how related the issue is. Some issues are quite separate. But obviously, for instance, an issue about performance anxiety may well have lots of other echoes in the rest of people's lives, the territories of someone feeling I'm not good enough, I should be better, often goes a lot past their actual performance and into their identity. So very often, and certainly the workshops about use of yourself in space and support have bigger repercussions in everything you do in your daily life as well as the performing. So it depends a little bit, but in one way it either does, and that's great, or people have other issues that are not connected to these, and they get a chance to bring those up too and work those out. But in my experience, once you have the approach, once you know how to use your own intelligence to explore your own life and your own issues, it doesn't take very long for people to basically solve them so that they really don't have any problems in their lives anymore.
Oh, wow. Wouldn't that be a wonderful world? It must be a very intense workshop. I can only imagine. That's one of the ones I haven't done, which I'm looking forward to one day doing. You've had a lot of success in Europe with these workshops. You were telling me, we were speaking last week, and you were telling me how open they are to that kind of thing. Will you be you're having a lot in the future? Will there be more workshops? I mean, you never know who's going to be listening to this. And I understand they can go to your website, but still, if you could sort of tell us a bit about what's happening abroad, over the big pond.
I'm not sure. So sure, I would say they're more open. I think I just have more of a network, and I'm better known there.
Right.
Certainly, in certain circles, I lived in Europe for the last 30 years until about 3 or 4 years ago. So I've had much more teaching experience in many different countries there. There's certainly a lot that has been happening here in North America too, especially around the performer thing. I've been teaching in the States quite a lot at various universities, and a number of the teachers who trained in the States, trained with me as learning methods teachers, are working in performance companies or with in universities. But one of the things that's, I think, is the difference, partly aside from the fact that I'm kind of better known and there's a bigger network there, is that especially when I consider the training that I'm going to do, which will be drawing people in from quite a number of places, it's there's a big population quite close together in Europe, and it's very, very easy to get around.
Mm-hmm.
So it's people don't think anything, for instance, of coming from Stockholm or somewhere else in Europe to London or to Ireland or somewhere for a weekend workshop, where it's much less common here that somebody would fly from Seattle, say, to Toronto, or from San Francisco, or from even sometimes from Montreal to Toronto. The costs are much higher too for travel.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Tell me, I'm sorry, I hope, did you have more to say about that?
No, not at the moment.
Okay. I wanted to find out a little bit about, because I myself am interested, how long, give or take, in terms of years or months or what have you, how long does it take to be certified as a learning methods teacher?
Well, that's a... it's sort of like asking how long is a piece of string. I guess it depends on... Because it sort of depends on where somebody is at the beginning.
Right.
It takes about as long as it takes, in other words. So if somebody comes in from a teaching background where they've been, say, a performance teacher, music teacher, or something, and they have already developed their pedagogy a lot and have explored lots of different ways of teaching, have had a quite open mind about what works and what doesn't, then they are often halfway there in the sense of their skills with teaching, and they have another big advantage, is they have a ready format to play around with new ways of teaching. They have lots of students, or they have their classes, and so they're able to apply what they're learning and integrate it in a way that's much more difficult for someone that's starting, who got very interested in the work through how it affected them, but has never really taught anybody before and doesn't have a built-in collection of people to work with. So it can take anywhere from, let's say, a couple of years. And again, I'm speaking more about the apprenticeship model I was using before, where people were coming to scheduled workshops and sometimes scheduled training workshops on a periodic basis because it wasn't happening where I lived, and I had to go there or they had to come to me in 2, 3, 4, 5 times a year, so it would take a lot longer than if I was living somewhere in a big city and they were able to come in every week, which is my current plan, for at least for the majority of people, that they would be training on a regular basis, probably a day a week, with the bulk of their getting whatever clues and things they get in that day and taking it out and playing with it and exploring it in their teaching or in their life the other days of the week, to come back a week later and so on. So it's very regular and very has a chance to be quite explored and integrated in their daily life.
And they can do it with you over the phone as well.
Some parts of it people can do at a distance. Some of the issues and some of the I think even some of the structure and function material can be done kind of at a distance. Learning other things will need to be done in person. So they're also speaking about streams in the training. I figure there will also be several different kind of streams. There'll be those who do live locally to wherever we set this training up, who can come every week, and you have to live relatively close to do that. There'll also be those that live, say, in a different city or a different country, who can only come periodically and do more intensive things, maybe a week or two or 3 weeks at a go, when they have the possibility, and then take it away and apply it. That's more like what the apprenticeship training was before. And there will be some distance learning in there too that people can do at a distance, though we'll still need to have, you know, substantial time when we're together and in person. And so it will obviously take those who come only periodically longer than those who... But there's no rush, really. The main point is the learning, taking in as much learning as you can and applying it as much as you can and letting that just develop in its own way.
Okay, so there's no set time limit in which they have to learn it and be certified or certificated.
No, it's a totally qualitative, not quantitative at all.
Okay.
At the point for people becoming certificated as learning methods teachers or anatomy of wholeness teachers, there will be a lot of things they need to do, but primarily in the end it's supervision of their actual teaching and their interacting that shows that they have the understanding and they have the ability to deal with their students and pass that understanding on. In other words, they can actually teach in a constructive and effective manner.
So they bring their students to you, or you go to them as they're teaching? For instance, I think as a singing teacher, you would then come and watch your student teaching their students, that type of thing? Or
there'd be probably many different formats. For some of the things which are group teaching, then they will be leading a group, say like they're standing on top of the world or through some of the structure and function material or movement things. But other times they'd be teaching individually, and that can be either videoed or recorded, even at a distance, and I can listen to it and we can communicate later about it, and in some cases it'll be in person. In the training, the part of what I want to set up is that in these different streams, the people that are coming in, say, on a regular basis to learn for themselves will then also be a pool of people that the apprentice teachers can work with and gain experience teaching. Plus, of course, it'll be a natural pool of people for them to do little mini workshops and practice their teaching, and also for the supervision.
Okay, fantastic.
And they, of course, then will get more people teaching them in you know, each person's different way. So everybody gains from that.
Okay. Are there learning method teachers here in Canada, or are they mostly abroad?
Well, there's myself and my wife here. There's a number. There's not very many yet, because I was doing it in a very ad hoc way as people came along in groups. There was a group in Sweden that trained with me shortly after I finished my Alexander training, after running my Alexander training, teacher training, there's about five or six in Sweden and Norway, and several more that are almost finished. There's one in France, and there's four in the United States, and a couple more that are close to being finished. So there's a few here and there that are still in the process, kind of the old process.
Okay.
But quite a number of people that are eager to start in the new training and are already kind of beginning. Most of them are in Europe, so I would think there'd be another dozen or more, you know, by the time we get that going in several years.
Oh, fantastic. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm much more interested in it taking the time it takes and have people that really know what they're doing than getting more teachers out there quickly who then don't actually end up teaching very much because they're not really clear about what they're doing or have shown that they're really doing the job and able to get it going on their own.
Yeah, of course. Well, it seems we're kind of coming to the end of our time, unless you have something you'd like to add.
Well, since your site and these master classes are largely for performers,
mm-hmm.
I'd say just a couple of things. Of course, the work is something that we teach, and I'm training teachers to help other people. But the whole point of it is that we're really learning to use our own skills and our own intelligence. So I'd say if anybody is listening to this and is a performer and does have any problems, there's kind of one real good focusing question that you can ask yourself that will often uncover quite a lot without a teacher. And that's that one at the moment when you hit the symptom, the problem, the tension, the anxiety, the whatever it is instead of the usual response, which is, what can I do now to get rid of this? Is to ask yourself, now why am I having this in the first place? What's going on that is getting me in this state? And as a kind of question, of course the answer is you are the expert. Anybody asking themselves that question is the expert because they are the only ones that knows what is going on for them and what they've been thinking and what they've been feeling. And in a sense, my job as a teacher is just to have them see how they can get at their own information and make sense out of it. So if somebody did in fact kind of remember to ask that question, you know, why is this happening in the first place? What might I be up to that is getting me into this state? And they went back and explored kind of what they're thinking and how they're seeing the situations in their performance or around the times of practice or whatever it is, and just kind of kept fairly good track of what comes out, quite systematically following things, I wouldn't be surprised that they could uncover quite a lot on their own. I mean, after all, by the time somebody's done a workshop of only a number of days, you know, 4 or 5 days, they generally have a pretty good sense of how to do that and are able to explore things and get quite a lot out and sometimes even solve things on their own. So it's in one way not that difficult.
But still, to have you there as a facilitator, a kind of a, I don't want to say an enabler, but someone to guide them through the process is...
It certainly makes it an awful lot easier. And a lot of times, of course, people do explore, even in the workshops when we're getting things out, and they get out a great deal of material and look at it and go, yeah, so? Because they don't quite appreciate the significance of it. They're basically having the experiences all the time and having all the things that are happening to them and going through their mind and going through their feelings and in their reactions, but they don't really know yet how to make sense out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of missing the meaning of it, and that's the major job of the teacher is to help them. It's a little hard to put into words just how that ends up getting across, but it does, and it does quite quickly and quite easily, much to my surprise, almost every time.
And I know how detailed you are. I remember when I did a session with you on the phone, you just kept digging deeper and deeper, and I thought, okay, that's the end. No, then we went, and it was fantastic. It really gets to the core of what the problem is, and oftentimes we just want to avoid that. I think performers, even though they say they want something authentic, they just don't want to go that deeply into problems that may come up for them, performance anxiety or whatever it may be for them. And you're very good.
Sometimes that's true. There's it is around problems, so there's often a lot of things that people are not so happy about, or even in looking at themselves, their ideas about themselves that they don't like very much. Though usually by the time they've gone through this and changed that, they discover those were all misconceptions and there really isn't anything wrong with them. But it's, in one sense, you're absolutely right. It does often take quite a bit of really close and very systematic and rigorous exploration to uncover what's going on. Then people just aren't used to doing that. They're not used to looking that closely at their experiences. They kind of buy the whole thing as it comes to them and assume, yes, it really is necessary. Auditions do make you nervous, and that's just it. Now, how do I deal with that?
And you make it less mysterious. You take away the scary aspect. You make it logical as opposed to emotional. I mean, it has to be emotional on the side of the performer, but you take that element away from the part that is not necessary, the nerves. So you take the emotion out of the nerves somehow. I don't know how you do it, but you do it.
Well, it was very interesting to me when I started to explore this to discover that, I'm not sure I'd use the word logical, but that there is in fact a logic to all these problems. They really are happening for specific reasons, and it's pretty much the same reasons with everybody. And once somebody understands that and sees through it, they often can be free of it very, very, very quickly. And of course, this is very nice. It's much nicer than if the problems were complex and impossible to change and tied up with us and it took us years. That would be much less nice situation. So we're rather fortunate that we can in fact delve into something, get into that detail, and yet still uncover it all in, say, less than an hour, and pretty much either have fixed it or have some very clear experiments that can be applied in just that small time for something that somebody may have been suffering under for years.
Isn't that fantastic? I'm really blown away by that idea, and it truly is possible. So for everybody out there, again, I'll mention www.learningmethods.com. Let me say that again, www.learningmethods.com. Go to David's website, go to his workshops, work with this man. He is a very special teacher, and you will glean something important from the information he has to share. So, yeah.
Well, I just want to add that, if people are not near where any of the workshops are happening, as you did too, they can do phone sessions, and a vast proportion, vast majority of the kind of issues people have can be done quite well on the phone. You don't need to be there in person, because we are in fact exploring, your information and your experiences and your ideas. Sometimes things need to be done in person, but I'd say the majority of the performance issues can be dealt with adequately, so people can organize that too without having to be there for a workshop. But or if they think there's enough people locally that would be interested, of course they can contact me or one of the other teachers and set up a workshop in their area.
And David's very easy to approach. Everybody, as you can hear, he's a very easy to talk to person. So having said that, I'm going to round things off here. David, again, thank you so much. I can't tell you how much this means to me. And I hope it's gone all right.
Well, my pleasure. It's lovely to talk with you.
And I hope we're going to do this again. Maybe in a year we can have you back, and you may have something new to offer, or, who knows?
Well, we could certainly do something around a specific theme. I think there'd be no shortage of specific territories that could be could be looked at in more detail. This has been very general and overall, of course.
But. Right. That's a great idea. Maybe we can even have a phone-in show. Well, if I can make that happen, mind you.
Yes, no, I've done that. That's very possible to do these days with the conference calling.
A great idea. Yeah, for everybody who's out there, get Skype, and then in a year you can do this, talk to David one-to-one or one-on-one. Okay, so again, at www.learningmethods.com, go to his website, see if there's something near you. I can't say enough good things about him. He's an amazing teacher who has important information. So thank you again, David.
Well, thank you. You're making me blush.
Oh, isn't it good?
Anyway, I'm quite honored to be your first interview here, and I wish you all the best in getting lots more there, and I'll certainly come and tune in on them.
Yippee! Yay! Okay, so we're going to end here. So goodbye to everybody, and tune in again to the Masterclass real soon.